The U.S. president says he may visit Israel next month for the opening of an American embassy in Jerusalem Al-Quds, which has triggered international condemnation.
I may go, very proud of it. Jerusalem has been a subject that's been promised for many years, as you know, the embassy in Jerusalem. It's been promised for many, many years by presidents. They all made campaign promises, and they never had the courage to carry it out. I carried it out. So a lot of good things are
happening with respect to... Trump announced recognition of Al-Quds as Israeli capital back in December and then pledged to move the U.S. embassy there. Decision triggered urgent United Nations Security Council meeting where the U.S. vetoed a resolution which demanded that decision be reversed. Resolution backed by the rest of the council also slammed Trump's announcement as a violation of international law. Palestinians and the Muslim world have also denounced the U.S. decisions on Al-Quds. Joining us now out of Seattle, Washington, is Mr. Richard Silverstein, journalist and political commentator. Hello, Mr. Silverstein. You heard that soundbite where the U.S. president says that other administrations or other presidents made the campaign promises to carry out this move, but none of them had the courage. Is it really a lack of courage that this move wasn't made sooner?
I'm glad you picked up on that word courage, because it was the first thing I wanted to mention. He calls it courage and I call it lunacy. Other presidents who've refused to move the embassy were cautious and careful and realized the impact of doing so and the harsh and negative repercussions of doing so, the provocation that it would be to the Palestinians to do so. Trump has no compunctions. He has no restraint on himself, and he does whatever he wants to do. Now, my prediction, I don't have a crystal ball, but I believe that there will be protests and riots about this. And if he does come, there will be a great deal of violence. I don't know if the violence will accompany his visit, happen before it or after it, but many, many people will be wounded and die as a result of the stupidity of Trump's move if he does come. Even if he doesn't come, and he's slightly more cautious than I think he is, there still will be a great deal of anger and violence resulting from this. So it's absolute lunacy, I believe.
Right. And, after this move, the Palestinians turned their back completely on Washington as mediator, throughout this conflict between the two entities. And then what does Trump do? He turns around and cuts funding to Palestinians. I'm sure you're really very aware of. Wasn't this just blatant bullying on Trump's part?
Well, that's what Trump is. He's a bully, and he likes to bully those who are weaker than himself. He doesn't bully people who are stronger because he knows he can't get away with it. This is, the worst in human behavior are bullies like this. Unfortunately, the Palestinians are less powerful than Israel and less powerful than the United States, so they have to suffer the consequences. But I do believe that there will come a day when Trump is not the president of the United States. Hopefully there will be a president who will be more sane and more progressive and more tolerant and will be able to rectify the errors and the suffering that Trump will cause.
But, by that time, this embassy move, if it's made, will already be erected. So it'll be a done cause. But then there's going to be fallout for it. How do you think the fallout will be if the embassy, U.S. embassy, is moved over to Jerusalem Al-Quds?
Well, as I mentioned, we've been seeing for the last 3 or 4 weeks protests that started with 50,000 Gazans massing at the border fence for the Great March of Return. I would predict that there will be the same kinds of mass protests in Jerusalem and in surrounding areas. I would also predict this is going to incite terrorism. So when you leave a nation or a people with no recourse to reach its dreams, to achieve freedom and national sovereignty, as they've done to the Palestinians, it leaves them with no options except violence. So, as soon as there is violence by the Palestinians, then everybody will be wagging their finger and saying, you see the Palestinians, they resort to violence at the first opportunity. Well, that's not the case at all. They resort to violence when they're provoked, and this is an ultimate and extreme provocation.
Thank you, Mr. Richard Silverstein, joining us out of Seattle, Washington, journalist and